June 23, 2021, it's the Watt Pedro Show.
We'll be right back. being sorry. I will never stop being sorry, sorry, sorry. Who baked the bread? Put the ice on my fevered neck. The streets were alive, the neighbors raging, the dogs in the basement locked up in cages. Our beautiful house, our beautiful tree, burned to the ground, all because of me. Sorry, sorry, sorry. Forgiveness is a holy place, but I am locked in time and in space. You lay beside me, breathing slow. Love in your heart, I know, I know. But who are these ghosts who plot and who plan, who stomp round the room with their sacks full of sand? Being sorry, sorry, sorry.
For Pedro Show, happy Wednesday. Started the show off with John Coltrane doing Bayou. And then Steve Dawson with I Will Never Stop Being Sorry. Brother Matt, I love Grotto. Oh, tomorrow's 2 weeks since my second Moderna shot for COVID-19, so I'm a little more protected. I think a week from tomorrow I'm going to do my first gig. But anyway, I'm not man alone. Even with Brother Matt not being here, because those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention. I got Brother Steve Dawson from Chicago. Welcome aboard, Steve.
Hey, how are you?
Well, glad to have you aboard.
Thank you.
So, let's get into your journey through music.
All right.
Okay, please bring your earliest musical recollection.
Earliest would be 7th grade. I took a guitar class just out of the blue, sort of on a whim, and I had this great, this was in Idaho, in Haley, Idaho, because we had just moved there. We moved there after the school year had started, so I took guitar because I had to fill out my schedule. And I landed in this class led by a woman named Linda Terry, who was an Idaho fiddle champion, but she was also like a full-on, this was like the middle 70s, so she was a hippie lady and just loved music and the sort of spiritual connection of music and songs, and just set me on a course of just loving songs and loving music and trying to find connections within songs and music.
That's beautiful. There's nothing a music person can do for another music person, except enlighten them and inspire them like that.
Yeah.
Now, you, before Idaho, I lived in Blackfoot for a few months because there was an army reactor. My pop was an engine room. They needed nuclear navy real quick, so he got trained.
What?
Atomic City, Blackfoot.
Wow.
There's a place called Craters of the Moon or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Because it was.
I remember driving through there. And we stopped at a gas station, and we asked for water, and the woman was like, oh, our water is not good here.
Now, before Idaho, you were California, right?
Yeah, San Diego.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I ask you about the pet? And when you took that guitar class, was that the first time? What I'm getting to is, was there any instruments in the pad you grew up with?
My dad got us a guitar when I was really young, but we didn't know what to do with it. Nobody knew how to play it. There was a neighbor that tuned it once, which I thought was like this kind of magical wizardry that this guy was able to tune it, but I didn't know what to do with it. So, I don't know what my dad was thinking. I mean, he got a guitar, but he didn't, there was no plan to have lessons or anything like that. He just probably thought it would be cool to have a guitar in the house, but like, so it was, yeah, it was this kind of like magical object that no one knew how to do anything with. So it just sat there. And so, yeah.
I've heard the same thing about pianos. Sometimes you just have it to have in the pad, even though don't yeah. play it. Okay. What was the first record you bought with your own money?
Night at the Opera by Queen.
Oh, wow. And the first gig you saw?
The first gig, well, I went with my parents to see a double bill of Chicago and Santana at the San Diego Stadium.
Wow.
Summer, an outdoor summer show.
Because you're 70s like me, you know, arena rock.
Yeah.
You said you took that school in Idaho actually had a music program where they taught guitar. That's kind of unusual. But did you do the other shit like marching band or choir?
I did not ever do marching band. I never played an instrument that would have been in the band. I would have liked to. I just never did. I remember when I was still in San Diego, I wanted to learn how to play trombone, but my mom was like, "You're not playing trombone."
Bass clef, she's crazy.
You're not playing trombone. So that didn't happen. So I was in choir briefly in Idaho, but I thought I didn't like the choir director. He was super sort of stiff and weird. It just didn't feel right. So I didn't.
Well, you know, like the good luck you had with the lady guitar teacher.
Yes.
The teacher, it's the person, right? Not so much the mission, but if they can't bring it because they ain't got the people skills, it ruins everything.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So, I'm assuming this was an acoustic guitar.
Yes.
Okay. Now, do you do acoustic, is it Man Alone or like, I'm not talking about a graduation, but in the afternoon, do you do the garage band, basement band, bedroom band with friends?
Oh, in high school?
Well, whatever school.
We had a little band that played covers, and I started writing some songs for that, and we played some high school dances and stuff.
Did this band have a name?
It was Eyes with a Z, EYE.
Of course. Now, I mean, can you remember the first Eyes gig?
Oh, geez. I know we played at a hockey rink. Like, we played on the ice.
I did that
at a hockey rink because someone's dad had a connection there or something. I mean, it was, you know, the sound was terrible and it was freezing. That might be one of the very first gigs.
So. Yeah, one time, I mean, I was a grown man, but this was the Winter Olympics in Salt Lake City, and Perk, Nels, and myself, Banyan, we did a gig on the hockey ice rink outside when it was snowing.
Oh, wow.
My fingers, I couldn't bend them. They were like fucking dowels. I was wearing a pink coat.
Yeah.
So, but would you consider that first Eyes gig a success? Or just getting through it probably was a success.
Yeah, you know, I mean, at that point, everything is a brand new experience.
Yeah.
So just playing outside of the garage is a big deal. And I'm sure it was terrible. But, you know, it probably felt great. And,
They didn't probably throw shit, right? If they didn't throw shit, it's got to be some kind of shit.
No.
Steve, I've had a lot of gigs where people threw shit, all kinds.
Batteries
hurt. Okay, yeah, you get messy and smelly with puke and the sacks of shit, but the batteries hurt. motherfuckers.
Ouch, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, enough about me, more about you. So, you said you wrote some songs for this band, Eyes.
Yeah.
Can you remember your first song you wrote for the Eyes?
I think the first song was this kind of epic, sort of ballad that turned, like, it was maybe me trying to do Stairway to Heaven or something like that. So it started out slow and
or
it built.
Bohemia City.
trying to write an epic rock experience, you know, and it was just super dumb. And
Long
I remember working on, I do remember working on it really hard, but I don't know what, you know, if anything came of it. We probably, you know, copied a couple of cassettes of it and passed it around a little bit, but mostly it was just me trying to figure out what the heck I was doing.
Right. I only wrote one song as a teenager. I think one. Yeah, I know for sure there was one called Mr. Bass, King of Outer Space.
Nice.
Doing a bass solo and blowing the rest of the band off the stage. Obviously, bass player had some issues. Well, there was a lot of hierarchy, right, with arena rock. Bass was like right field in Little League where you put your retarded friend.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm so glad D-Boone's mom did put me on bass. I want to play here. This is all there is.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. like.
While we were staring into our palms, the safety was released. The snapping of the shelf, murder in the streets. So this is how we fall. But with these final years, can we at least try to be kind? It might have all gone differently, but the chemistry failed. That tree just had to come down. Blind rage prevailed. Oh, say can you see? With these final hours, can we at least try to be kind?
Live from Pedro Show. Steve Dawson with This Is All There Is. That's a great title. You can't copyright a title.
It's true.
Yeah. Mike Cooper and John Raskin after that with Rash Cooper. Bombus Prendon with Guitar Manderson. A little phonetic spelling there, people. Sam Block Ward out of Iowa Cities with The Tears of Leonard Cohen. Then Brian. This band's called Brian with an exclamation mark. And I think that that's the drummer's name. Stan Paul. Yeah. Hence, yeah. Quote the Raven. And Brett Netson after that with the cover of Bobby Dylan's Master War. Hanson Potker, Treat Her Right. And finally, While We Were Staring Into Our Palms, Steve Dawson and Funeral Bonsai Wedding. Okay, this one I played earlier, but the rest of them are all in the third hour. You know, I ask you about the songwriting because, you know, 70s, like, Pedro, we didn't know anybody wrote their own songs. It was, seeing that stuff came back with the movement. Now I have people on the show, they were writing songs right out the gate. So I just think that's a bitching thing. Now, when you graduate high school, do you do the academic thing to continue your music?
I went to the Berklee School of Music in Boston. So
Yeah.
It was the only college at the time that offered like guitar, like non-classical guitar as a major. So I guess the Guitar Institute in Florida was, but I didn't want to go there. So I ended up at Berklee.
You know, I had Tom Blum on the show last time, and he said he went to Cal Arts because they were the only ones offering a classical guitar. I mean, this was early 70s.
Okay.
But how was the experience?
It was okay. I mean, there's so many gifted people that end up going there. So it was, you know, going from Idaho, where I was, you know, kind of like the best guitar player in a town of, a little town of 5,000 people, to this place where the sort of like the best musicians from everyone's hometown all went. It was pretty daunting and pretty, revealing, or whatever the word is. It's like, oh, geez, I have a lot of work to do.
You know, one of the things people I asked when I asked them that question, they found that value was the connect.
Yeah.
But in some ways, it got like sports. It was kind of competitive.
Yeah, I didn't really dig the competitiveness. But it helped me sort of focus on the fact that I wanted to write songs more than I wanted to become like a player, you know?
Or a music teacher.
Yeah, well, I am a music teacher now. Yeah.
I know. But I thought you taught songwriting.
Yeah. Which is different, you know.
Yeah, it is.
It's sort of like getting people to open up to their own creativity.
Absolutely.
So it's not about learning scales or chords anything like that. It's more just having people find their voice and giving them encouragement, really.
No, I think that's a great attitude to come from, because otherwise it turns into sports and shit and just these, you know, who can wear the Paganini cape at the correct angle and play 10 big notes.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? It turns into like, you know, Mozart's daddy whored out his Mozart just for some fucking, a regimen that you mastered. It's not really an expression of feeling, is what I'm trying to say.
Right. You know, I will say that Chicago is a great city for music on the level that you're talking about, like the non-competitive aspects of music. It seems like people here are in it for the right reasons.
You know, here's the worst thing. Using John Coltrane's Giant Steps to Cut Each Other.
I know.
You can't find a picture of John Coltrane without compassion in his eyes, and they're using his music to make people feel small.
Yeah.
Humans, we take turns being assholes and cool people. So, anyway, back to your journey. So, you know, first time I saw Berklee School of Music ID card, it's on the Richard Hell and the Voidoids Blank Generation record. The Bob Quine, I think he went there for one semester.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, because the only Berklee I knew was a school up in NorCal.
Right.
So I didn't know. But I've heard a lot since. And you know, it's a mixed bag like most things human. So what do you do after that, Steve?
Moved to Chicago. So I moved to Chicago in 87.
Well, what was it by luck that, because you say it was a great place, you know, environment for music. So.
Oh, yeah. I had a friend living here who was playing a lot of shows, and rent was pretty cheap. And he just told me this is a great place to be. I couldn't afford to stay in Boston. It was too expensive.
Oh, yeah.
There wasn't enough gigs to play, and I don't know, it seemed like I needed a change, and my friend was here, so I had a place to crash, you know, and it ended up being great. I stayed.
So when you were in Boston, you didn't involve yourself in the touring stuff?
No. I did, I was kind of doing the folk scene. I was trying to, there's a really great sort of Boston, Cambridge acoustic music scene. There always has been.
Oh, yeah. I think Canned Heat, that guy who sang like the owl.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I think Bonnie Raitt came up through there, and I'm drawing a blank right now. But there's a little club that's still around called Passim that I was starting to play at, and I was thinking about sort of just doing that, like sort of going the folk singer route.
Well, I asked because New England's, you know, being a SoCal guy,
you
got the fucking Rocky Mountains, you know, I-40, I-10, and. So you look at a map and you go, wow, if I lived in New England, look at all them fucking gigs.
Right. Well, that's true. Yeah. Everything's pretty close.
But then you forget about the weather.
Yeah.
Okay. So you moved to Chicago. You're doing Man Alone stuff, right, at this time, like you say, folk singing. And...
Yes, but I pretty quickly met some other musicians, including Diane Christensen, who is now my wife, and we've been married since 1990. But we started playing as a trio. The trio turned into a quartet with a bass, and then we got a drummer, and then so within about a year and a half, we were a little sort of rock twangy rock band called Stump the Host.
Ensemble.
Yeah.
Now, does Stump the Host tour?
A little bit. We were just, again, we were a pretty young band and just trying to figure it out.
Sure.
We started get, like, we got good press in CMJ. We released a cassette, you know, and we made a trip out to New York a couple of times, I think, and got some interest from record labels and stuff, but the bands, it just wasn't built for touring. I know you know how that goes. You know, we just, the personalities weren't working. It just kind of fell apart. It fell apart as we started moving into that area.
I try to tell people that, like, if the skills ain't that good, you just do more practice, but you can't fix character. Or lack of thereof.
I mean, everyone was, it was like people's like anxieties or something. It wasn't, everyone was a good person. It's just like it didn't work. I remember having, like, we'd get back from a trip and I would be on the phone with different people in the band for hours just trying to work out everyone's like mental state. And it wasn't, you know what I mean? And it wasn't and it wasn't about like anyone was being an asshole or anything. It was just like worry and like, why did this happen? And I was just like, I can't do this.
Yeah. So, yeah, Stump gets stumped.
It was a great band. We were a great band live. I mean, like, we had a lot of good energy. The guitar player was incredible. And he stopped playing music. So, you know
that happened with Amin Ali, Rashid Ali's son. Great bassman. He just quits.
It's so crazy.
Well, look at, a good example, Arthur Rimbaud. I think he does poems 2-3 years.
Is that right?
He ends up running guns in Abyssinia.
Oh, geez.
So some people, there's Elvin Jones, you're up on stage with an oxygen tank till you die, right? The wheels fall. Right. And then there's other cats. It's just a short little piece of their life.
Yeah.
That's a trip. Other people, I think, you know, you get bit, you can't let it go.
Right.
Other cats, they didn't really get bit, but they might have a good talent, but that don't matter. And they let it go.
Yeah, it's interesting. People are complicated, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. But that's what's kind of neat about it, too, because there ain't just one way to do it. And it's just like everybody's got different thumbprints, and at the same time, so much in common. That's why I think it's a great fabric to connect humans.
Yes.
Okay. We're at the end of the. Yeah, I don't mean to get all like preachy. But at the end of the first hour, June 23, 2021, Dish Watt Peter Show, special guest Steve Doss. Hold tight for hour two. June 23, 2021. It's the second hour Watt Peter Show.
Last flight out, grounded where you stand, no benefiting from the doubt, no clinging to dry land. Now the whole thing you can do. God bless us,
soft liquid a little harder. But rock is rock, and metal is metal. Oh, I get it. I get it. I'm trapped inside this building. I am banging at the walls on an upper floor. I'm shouting from the window, but the window plays a thick song. You cannot hear me. Thank you.
to a tenor saxophone. He had his way of talking, was a language of his own. Life's story, love and glory, if you listen when he plays it for you. Now listen and listen and dig it. Can't you dig it? Lester Young is playing what he's feeling.
There are opportunities in foreign communities. Who wears a collar? Who wears a crown? Where is the college in the campus town? I used to know. Oh yeah, I swear I used to. You'll get used to it and forget all the ways and the names of the new. Okay, a million people's faces is a hard act. A million wacky races running through the hall, oh yeah. A million pocket spaces filling up tomorrow. A million people's faces is a hard act to follow. When I was 18, someone got stabbed in a church, but I got used to it. It's a hard kind of life when you can't even open your eyes. A million people's faces.
Watch for Pico Show. We start off the second hour. Last flight out. Steve Dawson and Funeral Bonsai Wedding. Yeah, and Pico's bonsai. So that's the trees that they grow real little. It's not 10,000 years for somebody to live long.
But exactly.
Ben Salter after that from Tasmania with Trap. Lucas and Bella from nearby Sydney with Black Mold. Of course, there's a U there, right? England. Rick Weaver, brand new from him. I think this is Charlie Mingus. Goodbye Pork Pie Hat for Lester Young, right? Because he liked wearing them. Kiwi Jr. after that, Toronto, but they're actually Maritime. One day I got to play Maritime. It's just such a fucking hell ride, but I'll do it. The Thing You Love Is Killing You. No, Murder in the Cathedral, and then Thing Is Love, You Love Is Killing You from Dolly Varden. So is this the next band after Stump?
Yes. So as Stump the Host fell apart, Diane and I wanted to keep singing together, and we started putting together a new band and sort of like gathering up musicians that we knew and so Dolly Varden was born. Stump the Host ended around 93. Dolly Varden was born sometime in late 94. Our first record came out in 95.
And how would you say it was different? I mean, obviously it's different people, but and listen to the music, with you and your wife being the core,
it's
still kind of like, you could tell it's maybe not the same boat, but from the same port.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And I think maybe slightly more nuanced would be the word, a little more flexible in terms of what we were capable of playing, which isn't to say Stump the Host didn't have nuance, but we kind of did one thing really well, which was this kind of rave up, twangy stuff. And Dolly Varden is maybe a little more ballad heavy. I don't know.
Yeah, no, this is a problem. Well, let me ask you your opinion on this, Steve. The idea of genre.
Oh, it drives me nuts.
Yeah, fuck that shit. No, at some point, ain't music just music?
Right. I've never thought of music in categories when I'm making it, or even really, I guess if I want to listen to, like, I want to hear some classic country, or I'll pull out a George Jones record because I want to hear that. That's specific genre related, but.
Yeah, well, I would call it a George Jones record.
Right, exactly. Right? Yes. I remember I worked in this record store, and they sold a lot of blues and jazz records, and they had a clientele of a lot of older black people that came in, and it was great. I loved it. It was called the Jazz Record Mart, this kind of legendary Chicago store, and I was playing Bobby Bland, and I referred to Bobby Bland as a blues singer, and one of the old guys said, well, I never thought of him as a blues singer. I just thought of him as a singer of songs, like just a guy that sings songs, you know? I was like, oh, okay.
That's a good point.
It's a nice way of looking at it.
In fact, I heard him called a blues shouter.
Yeah.
So that's even another level of ghetto Berlin Wall labeling.
Right. Right.
Fucking gulag bullshit words you want to call about this shit. But we're using razor wire in our words.
Right. Plus, a lot of those guys, those old-time soul singers, grew up listening to the Grand Ole Opry. If you read interviews with those guys, they're like, oh, they loved Hank Williams and...
Oh, absolutely. You know, Nick Tosches wrote a book called The Twisted Roots of Country and Rock and Roll, right? And he's talking about shit like, well, Roy Acuff, right? A Jewish songwriter. And then minstrel being a big...
Right?
which is like, you know, people, your listeners out there, if you want a shortcut on that, insight, Al Jolson, the jazz singer.
Right.
Which is a great movie and stuff, but it's kind of trippy. Well, right, his daddy wants him to be a canter, but hey, Pop, this is the new land. You know, I want to be my own man, so I can see on this level. But yeah, when you start mixing in these kind of, what do you call this, appropriations or whatever. I mean, you had brothers doing blackface. It got so popular.
Crazy, right?
I know, but... Well, I want to play 22 Rubber Bands.
And they tried to blame me, and they tried to train me, even tried to name me. Next they tried to warn me, and they tried to scorn me, even tried to form me their way, their way. But I was born on the 1st of May. The mightiest winds will blow me away. The pieces of me you wanted to break, it didn't take, it didn't take. But they tried to shake me, they tried to make me, even tried to take me away.
There'll be a time when all the sirens will surrender. Last ashes of the burning bridge have scattered. There'll be a time when the newspaper strikes the front door and I don't shudder. And the moon sets free the insects to sing through the night. There'll be a time. There'll be a time. There'll be a time when the sparrows flock to the fountain and wash the windy smoke out of their wings again. There'll be a time when our eyes are not too swollen to see the signs. Even the sun begins as a sliver before it climbs. And there'll be a time. There'll be a time where I dreamed I painted my face to load a quiver. I fell upon my pinto like a feather. But old freedom, it's a reflection that won't hold water or deliver. Some are chained to paper while others vanish between the lines. But there'll be a time, there'll be a time, there'll be a time. There'll be a time when the heroes and villains all are vanquished and the battlefields of frozen blood and bone are mined. Every artifact of love is strung upon a necklace to bear witness, and the parachute sail like flowers unfolding on the other side. There'll be a time, 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 there'll be a time.
Stop the car,
threw out her arms and said, honey, darling, what's got you so worried? As soon as I walked in, I already said, turn away. As soon as I walked in, I already said, turn away. As soon as I walked in, I already said, turn away.
For Pedro Show, 22 Rubber Bands from Steve Dawson, Joshua M. Robbins with Murder One, Trapper Shook, It Didn't Take, Eric Slick with Over It, Simon Joyner, There Will Be a Time Number Two, and then Steve Dawson and Funeral Bonsai Wedding, As Soon as I Walk In. When does the title come in your songwriting process?
The title?
Yeah.
Well, it depends. Like if I come up with a good title, then that's the thing that can start the song. But most often it shows up as like somewhere during the process of working out the song.
I ask that because Watt has to start with the title or I'm lost. And like hardly anybody's like that, so that's why I ask.
Well, in Keith Richards' book, he talks about that. Like says, his best songs start with the phrase, like the line. Once you get the line, then you kind of have the template for the song.
Well, yeah, for me, maybe because I'm composing a lot of times on the bass, so I need the focus so everything can aid and abet and make that title, you know, become a song.
Right, right.
But other people, it's like a bass part. Put it on in the end, tack it on. Composition part. I remember this one guy said, well, what do you mean write a song on a bass? Why didn't you use a kick drum or cymbals? whatever. I'm just interested in that. And then talk a little about this job you got teaching songwriting.
Yeah, so there's a place in Chicago called the Old Town School of Folk Music that goes back to the 50s that was started by a guy named Frank Hamilton and a guy named Win Strachey that were folk singers. And they invited people into their living room to sort of teach guitar. And their first guest teacher was Big Bill Brunzi, which is pretty cool. Yeah. So Big Bill showed a little group of people how to do that e-blues shuffle. and the school was born. And it's sort of like just blossomed over the time. John Prine learned to play guitar at the Old Town School. Yeah. Roger McGuinn. I think Roger McGuinn learned to play banjo at the school. So I started teaching there about 10 years ago. I started out teaching guitar classes, just basic, you know, D, G, A, guitar one classes, and then started teaching songwriting, which is more like what we were saying, which is just sort of, it's creative writing with music, like, and letting people sort of like open up to the idea that everyone is musical and that everyone is creative, and just trying to find a way to express themselves through music. And it's been really rewarding and eye-opening, and yeah, I really love it.
You think, I know you're teaching students, right? But you think, yeah, about, in that process, the students in a trippy way might be teaching you something?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. No, I've learned a lot about, well, I think the biggest one is that maybe before this, I thought it was a rarefied thing that people that wrote songs were sort of like this rare breed of people, and maybe that was a little narcissistic, but after taking the classes, or after leading the classes, I should say, it really does seem like almost anybody, if they open up to it, can write a song, and in some cases, write really good songs. So it's not... yeah, it's different than I thought prior to doing this.
So the learning was in the doing.
Yeah, yes, very much so.
Yeah, so theory only gets you so far, people. You got to put the boat in the water and see if it floats.
Well, right, sure, sure, absolutely.
We're at the end of the second hour, June 23, 2021, Dish Wap Peters with special guest Steve Dawson. Hold tight for hour three. June 23, 2021. It's the third hour of the Watch for Pete Rose Show.
Well, my great-grandfather left Saskatchewan for California. Yeah, my great-grandfather left Saskatchewan for California. For the warmth of the sun and the smell of the ocean. And my grandpa took a job as a teacher in New Mexico. Yeah, my grandpa took a job as a teacher in New Mexico. It was the height of the Depression. There was nowhere else to go. Singing to the tree, singing to the wild. steps of a friendship that ended in Chicago. I will never understand how that was 22 years ago. Well, my great-grandfather left a statue for California.
begin to quietly resign. I'll begin to color bright, color around the edges white. Thank you.
only threat today. Listening to Lowell's talk change. Money doesn't seem to matter anyway, 'cause it's all just the same, all the same. Even if we reach the top, even if Stephen fears to stop, and he says,
spoke the words that it would break her heart, but I made up my mind and it was time to leave. Where the little green trains filled with college girls break and stop and start, I held out my arms to catch her tears with my sleeve, and the sparks trip the wire, and we stood like strangers the night of the liquor store fire. Line formed around the ice cream shop, desperate to beat the heat, as sirens played wide the late August air. In a doorway on a dark side street, she pressed herself into me, whispered something that I couldn't hear. And some freshmen formed a choir by the barricades and sang to the liquor store fire. Girl with big green eyes and a distant sense of fear, crates of whiskey, rum and wine, exploding into flames. The sky was thick with sweet ash and booze. And over in the haze of lights, the owner sobbed and prayed, surrounded by mics from the TV news. As the flames were rising higher, that girl disappeared.
For Pedro, should start off the third hour with Dolly Varden, Saskatchewan to Chicago. And I got to play there, Saskatoon. Summertime's a big fucking, I know it's heavy weather most time, but sweaty ass summer. I got bit really, there's a folk festival up there. Also, Winnipeg's got a big one, right? And me and Kay did a dose gig. They, you know, yeah, acoustic guitars and fiddles, but hey, what about two electric basses?
Wow.
Yeah, open minds, right? It's okay.
Cool.
It's okay. So, Acoustic Wind from Port Sunshine out of Hamburg. Sam Bennett from Tokyo, Year of the Monkey. Actually, he's originally from Birmingham, Sun Ross Town, who ended up for a lot of years in Chicago. I recommend Jean Zwed's book. It's a trip that goes into his Chicago years big time. Manuel Armida from Yellowknife. That's where he is right now in Canada. He's actually from Mexico. To Quiet Resign, Bucket of Black. Tim Wholehouse out of England with Even Acoustic. And the Night of the Liquor Fire, Steve Dawson and Funeral Bonsai Wed. Yeah, you know, I was reading you, like you went, there was three different storefronts, and each one had a different word, funeral, bonsai, and wed.
Oh, it was one florist, one flower shop I used to pass, and three windows in the florist shop.
That's it.
Yeah.
See, I fuck up everything, Steve. I get a little bit right. But okay, so this association, you just thought, man, that's a band name. Not as good as Eyes, but almost.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
We had Eyes, but they weren't clever enough to have a Z. In fact, Don Bonebreak, the drummer for X, that's his first band. And their big song, I wouldn't shit you. In fact, the singer Joe Ramirez ended up in Idaho. But their big song was called Blow Up Disneyland. It's on Yes LA.
And nice.
You can imagine what it's about. Okay. This new album you got, Under the Tree with the Branch. Something. I said it wrong.
At the bottom of a canyon in the branches of a tree.
Yeah. Now, was this baby recorded all during the situation, last 13, 16 months?
Yeah, pretty much. I have a home studio, and I did the whole thing. I had started it before, but I really sort of put the nose to the grindstone over the last, during the pandemic, yeah.
And you had other people play, or were you man alone while you were
This one. This one's basically all me. I'm playing everything on it.
Okay, yeah. I'm curious because, you know, a lot of one-man bands, like, for example, Stevie Wonder, Dave Grohl, you know, Prince, they start with the drums. What did you start with?
I usually started with one guitar, like a rhythm guitar, and laid down the basic structure and then put drums.
Okay. Did you find that? Are you a drummer, man?
I try. I mean, I love playing drums. I love it. And I've gotten better at it. Okay. But I'm not. I would never call myself a drummer, but I love playing.
Are you the drummer on this record?
Yeah.
Okay. But you're a drummer, man.
I guess.
Okay.
So Stevie would play late, like those tracks were drums first?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, that's the way all three of those guys, that's how they did it. They would play on the drums, and then and Prince did the same thing in Dave Grohl's first album.
And
you had another guy play on the second one, but he didn't like the way he played, so he just went and replaced all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, hey. It's weird about drums, right? I can't be the front man. Why can't you? It's so weird. I've really been a champion for drummers because, you know, a lot of what we do is rhythm music. And to call them stupid and not musicians, it's just terrible.
That's not my experience. The drummers usually are the...
heart of the band, right? Last 20 years, I've had them in the front, on the lip of the stage now. That's
right,
a big fuck-up the Minutemen did. George Hurley should never have been the man in the rear with a bunch of gear. Should have been right up front, right in the face. Like, here's the beat, motherfuckers. Okay. however long it takes. Okay, going back a little.
All this feeling is overwhelming me. someone in the future is dreaming your life. Bubbles of foam on the sea, way down deep where the craters are neat, the waves are flatter and thin. You make some decisions with limited vision, playing out well day by day. Everyone has the foot on the gas, driving you into the light. The digital crackle and campfire sparks, floating up into the sky. You make some mistakes and some choices not great, even put on shackles and chains. You gave a couple monkeys a generous ride, now it's just ashes and rain. Yeah.
I sat in the front room for hours and hours with Tiffany, the one-handed cheerleader. Her long red hair tangled with mine. The moon shone through her living room.
sit on her tiptoes and kiss my cheek. I could not breathe, I could not speak. I sang that song at the top of my lungs. Oh, but sooner or later the ending comes. And it's too late. Summer passed. Sparrowhawks, grasshoppers, flickers made glad. Your skin was warm, it was mid-July. A sagebrush path to the giant rock. forever push away the bands. Overhanging cottonwood trees, shading the shallows, dropping their leaves. But it's too late.
For Pedro Show. Last music for this edition, Steve Dawson, Funeral Bonsai Wedding, however long it takes. Then Dan Jones out of Kansas City. This demo he made for his band, The Squids, Crater Kids. Then Nick Hoffman after that, Blues for Julius and Abdul. Red All Over from Flight Risk. Yeah, out of Milwaukee, great label, JMY Music. Building a Better Reality. Compilation, better thing. That's where I got that stuff from. And then finally, Ezra Pound and the Big Wood River by Steve Dawson and Funeral Bonsai Wedding. Ezra. Ezra's talk about complicated human.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Yeah, the canto's beautiful shit, and then he loses his fucking head. All that Mussolini shit.
The interesting thing, the reason that made me want to write that song is that, I mean, I lived in Haley, Idaho as a teenager. And no one ever, I mean, Ezra Pound was born there in Haley, Idaho, this little tiny town. No one ever talked about it. It was not a known thing. I found this out because I got a book on Ezra Pound at some point in college, and it said born in Haley, Idaho. And I was like, wait, what? But, you know, he was banished because as a traitor. Yeah. So he,
You know about Mountain Home? It's near Boise.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a writer man from there named Richard McKenna who wrote, he only wrote one book, The Sand Pebbles. Me and Dee Boone's favorite. They made a Steve McQueen movie out of it.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Sly Stone said, it's not where you're from, it's where you're at. And these people who think they got it all figured out by just knowing some factoid, people are dynamic things. And they can do all kinds of stuff in their life that can really be happening and then, like, yeah, be really terrible. So, and just to get all know-it-all over the, just this little bits of stuff that you make, not you, but one can make these big, I don't know, pronouncements. It's just bullshit.
Yeah.
It's just bullshit. So, so you said you started this record actually before. So you already had the tunes written?
Yeah, for the most part, yeah. I guess I would have written them in probably 2019 for the most part.
Now, are you a man with a spiral book of lyric?
I keep a book. It's just a sketchbook. I use it as a blank sketchbook. Use it for writing. Yeah.
But it also can be like a resource. Like, I need some words. And stuff,
yeah.
And you can go into this thing, right? Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, what about this thing? A lot of cats, and even Watt, I don't do it with a leash, but I do it with a little Sony recorder. Do you, like voice memo?
Oh, yeah. Hundreds of them.
Okay. But,
I was talking to some people. We have this little monthly songwriting get-together, and the dumbest thing is you make all these voice memos, but you don't name any of them. So it's just like voice memos 1 through 3.
Yeah, but Watt learned about that. Would you give it a date and a time?
You got to, but I still stupidly don't. So
that's the only way, and I did it with my pictures too. It's the only way to make sense of this shit when you got a buttload of them.
Right, I know.
But man, like the older days, that great lick, it's gone forever.
Right.
Right, so that's when...
Or you just have to keep playing it over and over.
That's the only way it lived.
Yeah.
You didn't beat it into the muscle memory, bye-bye. It's not even like hasta, it's like sayonara, man. Matine. So I'm just curious about it. Look, Steve, if people want to find you on the internet, where would they go?
SteveDawsonMusic.com is probably the...
Spell it for them.
SteveDawson music, music.com.
Yeah, great. And from there, you've probably got links to all the other.
Yeah, it's I'm on Bandcamp and wherever, everywhere else.
The corporate telephone poles we like to staple flyers to.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, but I'm so glad because having your own website's like having your own fanzine.
Kinda, yeah.
Well, there's no filter, no gatekeeper. That's what I mean. And your next plan, things are opening up. You got, and I saw there's some gigs.
Yeah, starting to play some shows, and hopefully, I'm not going to do any touring this year, but hopefully, in the new year, start to get out and about and play some more.
And are you already? You know how we are, the guys who make records. Yeah, you get one done, but then you start. Have you started on the next one?
Oh yeah, I have. I already have most of a new record made. I was aiming to have this one be a double LP, but then people just told me, like, in this day and age, that's just a really stupid idea.
People say. Anyway, I think anything you do is going to be happening. I really look forward to it. So when you come out with the new stuff, come back on and let's play it and talk about it, Steve.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much. People,
yeah.
June 23, 2021 edition of Wapito Show. Keep your powder dry.